السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه، وصلى الله على خير خلقه محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى أصحابه الغر الميامين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اكتبنا منهم، آمين. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك، والله open the hearing channels of our hearts to your remembrance. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. والله show us truth as the truth and help us to follow it, and show us falsehood as falsehood and help us to stay away from it. My dear brothers and sisters, as we continue in our journey of Surah Yasin, which we have covered up until ayah number 50 last time, starting with the first section, which dealt with the address to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a wake-up call to the audience being addressed to believe, an invitation to the truth of revelation, and a reminder of the akhirah, the resurrection. Then in the second section, from ayahs 13 to 32, we learnt about Ashabul Qarya, that people of that town where the three messengers were sent. And then in the third section, last time we covered from 33 to 44 about the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizing his oneness and recognizing signs in the creation that there is a resurrection and Allah has the power to do what he wants. And then finally, the attitude of people towards this resurrection or bringing back, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring us back to life. And that's a very important concept for us, because every day you see injustice in the world. People being killed, innocent people being killed, innocent people being put in prison, tortured, life in prison, nations being destroyed, people being driven from their homes, all kinds of injustice. And yet, everyone talks about human rights. Human rights. Today, there is a leader of a country visiting our capital who everyone knows is violating every human right, and we are giving him a state dinner today. So where is the justice? Everyone is looking for their political advantage. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed a day of judgment, so that no injustice will be done. So anyone who is dealt with unjustly, who is tortured, who is killed, who is deprived, who is slandered against, there is a day of judgment that is coming. So that gives us hope that yes, we have something to look forward to, especially those who have been oppressed. And it's also a reason for us to feel some trepidation and fear. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget anything. Which means that if we have been a zalim, if we have wronged anyone in any way, there is a day of judgment. That we will face that, and we will face our victims in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where they will say, Ya Allah, this person did this to me, violated this right of mine. So this is a very serious matter. And that's why over and over again, all of the Meccan Quran is full of the Day of Judgment, resurrection. You are coming back. You are coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are going to be shown everything you did. There is a hisab. There is a hisab. There is justice. So what that tells us is that we need to fix ourselves and everything that we have done to violate anybody's rights right here. Because on that day, there is no exchange in dollars and cents. That day, the exchange is only in deeds, amal. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, he asked the question that who is the one who is the muflis, the bankrupt of my ummah? And the Sahaba said, radiallahu anhum, ya Rasulullah, the one who has nothing, no dinar, no dirham. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, he is not the bankrupt. The bankrupt of my ummah is the one who comes on the Day of Judgment with lot of amal, lot of good deeds, lot of salah, lot of zakah, lot of saum, lot of things he has done, charity. But also comes with having violated somebody else's rights, having cheated someone, backbiting, slandered, you know, business dealings. And then all of his, slowly his deeds are given to compensate that person till that person is satisfied. And who's going to be satisfied till they've taken, unless they've taken everything? Say, Allah, this is not enough. This is not enough. This is not enough. Till that person loses everything that they had of their good deeds. And then if the person is not satisfied, then that person's sins are given to us. And then this person is put in Jahannam as a result of violating the rights of people. So that is the true bankruptcy. So when we hear and read about this Day of Judgment, it's not just an event. Oh, it's going to be like this. This is the signs. This is what will happen first. This is what will happen academically. The question is, we should see that day and we should feel, what is going to be my situation that day? Okay. We already know about that day, that nobody will care about anybody else. The husband will run from his beloved wife. The child will run from the mother. The mother from the child. Nobody. Nafsi, nafsi. Why? Because they now see the reality and they know what they have brought with them. So it's very, very important for us to take this very seriously when we hear mention of the Day of Judgment. Here, a lot of ayats were being revealed to convince those Meccan Quraysh, because they just couldn't grasp the idea that when you become dust and bones, that you could come back. Now, alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. Inshallah, we don't need that convincing that yes, we will be brought back. That's part of our belief, that yes, we will be brought back in front of Allah. But is it a real belief? The real yaqeen in that is to prepare for that day. Not just to know, yes, there is a Day of Judgment. How did you spend your life? How did you spend your youth? Where did you earn your money? Where did you spend your money? How were the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled? How were the rights of the people fulfilled? All of those are going to be asked. So starting now with the next few ayahs, starting from ayah number 51 till 54. The next four ayahs have to do with that resurrection, the bringing back to life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاسِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. That sur, which we translate as the trumpet, that Israfil alayhi salam will blow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that trumpet will be blown. فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. And as soon as it's blown, that from their unmarked graves, ajdas, wherever they are, everyone, whether they are in the desert, whether their remains are in, they were burnt and ashes was, whether they're drowned in the, you know, near the Titanic, wherever your end is, okay, you will be brought back. And ila rabbihim. Rabbihim. That should make us feel that the one who created us, Allah used the word Rabb here, their Lord who created them, who nurtured them, who sustained them, who provided for them, their physical needs, their emotional needs, their psychological needs, their spiritual needs, all of that He gave you. Now you come back to Him because He wants to know what you did with it. Yansilun, they will be brought quickly. Quick. Now, so which blowing of the trumpet, how many blowing of the trumpets are of the surah are there? Two and three. Okay. The majority opinion is two, but there is an opinion that there are three blowings. So which blowing is this that is mentioned here? First one is to destroy. This is just talking about the second one, that you are being resurrected. So, as we know, we learnt in, which surah did we learn in? That the angels, they'll be driving, the angels will be driving. Sa'ikun wa shaheed. Surah Kahf, Qaf, we learnt. That there will be angels appointed to each one of us to drive, to take people quickly. Let's go. And of course, people are going to be in groups, in separated. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that when that trumpet is blown, he said, I will be the first one to be resurrected. I will be the first one to be resurrected. And when I am resurrected, I will see Musa alayhi salam holding on to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, I don't know if Musa was spared from that first sa'iqa, from being put out once, because he has already experienced it once before. Remember when Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, show me. Allah said, look at the mountain. And when the tajalli came on the mountain disappeared. Musa alayhi salam had already experienced. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam said, I don't know if he wasn't given this or he was raised before me. So this is the scene we are giving. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then goes on to say that that's a day when all of mankind will stand before Rabbul Alameen. They will stand and they will be sweating depending on their condition. And there is a sun that will be brought 1 mile, close distance, which is going to produce intense heat. So the Day of Judgment is going to be a very uncomfortable day. It's going to be a day of great fear, physical, emotional, every kind of fear, except for those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors, who will be given shade, who will be given special status and special pedestals to sit on, and you know, things like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you doubt that this will happen? All it's going to take is one command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Israfil will blow, that's it, you will come out. Just like that. And there are hadith that tells us that we are going to be resurrected from the tailbone, wherever it remains. Allah will bring wherever the particles are, put them together. The recreation will be different, but we will be created like we were created. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that we will be resurrected with clothes. No clothes, just like you were the first time. Naked, uncircumcised, barefoot, nothing. Just like you were born. Except you are adults. So when our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, who was very modest, she said, Ya Rasulullah, everybody will be naked there? Look at, he said, Oh Aisha, the matter is much more serious, much more grave than that. Because people will have no concern for anything else. They will not look at, they'll be worried about themselves. They're not going to be looking who's who and what are they. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the ones who had doubt. In the next ayah, he says, قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَأَثْنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. They will say, now just imagine, sometimes you are in a deep sleep, you wake up. Do you sometimes feel momentarily a little confused as to where I am, what happened, what's going on? Yes. Now imagine waking up here, the whole scene has changed. And you wake up and say, what is this? What's going on? So there's going to be that confusion, you know. Person who, they, when they are raised again, everything looks unfamiliar. Everybody's there. Everybody's naked. What's going on? They say, قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا woe unto us. Who is the one? مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. Who has raised us up from our places where we were sleeping? Because when you are buried, that's essentially a sleep in the state of barzakh till the day of judgment. The reply will come, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. This is that fulfillment of that promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the messengers who gave you that message spoke the truth. So who will say this to them? One opinion is that the believers knew this was coming. You and I will know. So when we wake up, you know what has happened. So we'll say, this is that day that Allah promised us. This is the day that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the anbiya before him said, they spoke the truth. And one is that the angels will also say this, because the angels are there to gather you. This is the day that Allah promised you. And there is a threat in that. Okay, there's a threat because you doubted it. That means if you had doubt about it, you obviously didn't prepare for that day of judgment. Okay. Yet the word used, وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَانِ, that here even Allah's name of, supreme name of His mercy is mentioned. Okay, that if there is any hope for Rahmah, Rahman's promise is here. Okay, but if you still don't qualify for the Rahmah of Ar-Rahman, then you are truly a loser. وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ, because they always, all of them denied their messengers. So, and you know there is a period between the first blowing and the second blowing of the trumpet. When we are put to that, the people are put to death, and those of us who have gone before are already in that state of sleep. And this word marqad here means resting place, wherever our last remains were resting. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us about this gathering. He said that there will be people, they'll be brought in three different ways. The first are those who had hope with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of His forgiveness, of Jannah, and who had fear of Allah's punishment. In other words, who's going to have hope and fear? Believers. The believers. That they will be brought to the scene. Now, wherever you are on the earth, you are going to be brought to one plane where this judgment is going to take place. And there is this opinion that this is going to be where Arafah is. Of course, Arafah at that time is going to look very different. It's all leveled, everything is gone, trees are gone, the sprinklers are gone, nothing is there. It's level ground. Okay. That they will be brought from wherever. So they have to be brought in a certain way. So the believers will be brought to the scene by comfortable means of conveyance, some sort of means will be provided for them to come there, because they are the VIPs, the believers. And of course, they're probably being given water and things like that, and shade, because they are special people. The second batch will be those who, half the time they did good, they mixed good and bad, and they will be brought on rides that they had to share, so it's not that level of comfort. And the third group will be the one who will be like you drive cattle with lashes. The angels, these are the disbelievers who will be taken towards the hellfire. So one of the companions said, because there is this ayah of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a person made to walk on his face, put in Jahannam on his face. So he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, will a kafir be gathered and driven to the on his face walking to the mahshar, to the place of gathering? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is not he who made him walk on his legs in this world be able to make him walk on the face on the day of resurrection? Because it seems unfathomable to us, how does a person walk on their face? Because we take for granted our experience is only walking on legs. But we should also experience that there are things that move on this earth wriggling on their bellies, right? Like snakes and many things else, right? And so Allah can, just to disgrace them, because the face is the most honored face on the ground walk, because you were too arrogant in front of Allah and your arrogance was your face, this is your punishment today. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned in a hadith, he said that the first human being to be dressed on that day, you know, everyone is naked. Dress on that day means being honored. Okay, now you can cover, like a thobe. Will be who? Anybody remember this hadith? That's a good guess. But he said, will be Ibrahim al-Khalil. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then, he said, some of the men of my followers will be taken towards the left. From my ummah will be taken towards the left. Now imagine the torture that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is feeling. It's my ummah. Some of them are going, they're being, angels are taking. Angels know what they're doing. You know, there's no chaos here. To the left, towards the fire. And he said, I will say, Ya Rab, my companions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you do not know what they innovated in your religion after you left them. They changed the deen. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I will then recite the ayah that Isa alayhi wa sallam recited, which we have in the Quran. مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَمَرْتَنِي بِهِ أَنَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ وَكُنْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا مَا دُمْتُ فِيهِمْ فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَنْتَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٌ إِنْ تُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِنْ تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Which means this is what Isa alayhi salam will also say when he is asked about, in the Quran, Allah asks Isa alayhi salam, did you ask your followers to worship you and your mother besides me? This is the response that Isa alayhi salam gives, which is, he says, never said I to them anything except what you commanded me to say. Worship Allah alone, my Lord and your Lord. And Isa alayhi salam will say, and I was a witness over them whilst I dwelt amongst them. When you did take me up, you were the watcher over them, and you are witness over all things. And then he makes a dua. He says, and if you punish them, they are your slaves. In other words, that's your right. And if you forgive them, you are Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. You are mighty. Who can question you? And you are Hakim, you are wise. So that was his appeal for Allah to forgive the people of Isa alayhi salam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make this dua for the Muslims who are being taken to the fire. that, Ya Allah, if you forgive them, you know, that's, you know, your prerogative. Nobody can question. Nobody questions Allah what He does. If He wants, He can forgive everybody. That's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his companions, he said, would you be happy if on the Day of Judgment, 1/4 of the people of paradise are from this ummah? They said, Ya Rasulullah, we would be very thrilled. He said, how about if 1/3 will be from this ummah? He said, we'll be even happier. Then he said, how about 1/2 of the people of paradise? And then he said, none will enter paradise except a person who is a Muslim, and you people, in comparison to the people who associate others with worship, are like a white hair on the skin of a black ox. And if you have a black animal, completely black hair, if you've got a little tuft of white hair, it looks like you can, it's visible. Such a small thing. Everything else is black. And he gave this because in another narration he said, the first person to be called for judgment on that day will be Adam alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show all of humanity and say, Ya Adam, these are your children. Just imagine that. And Allah will say to all the people, this is your father Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam will respond to that call, Labbaik wa sa'daik, Ya Allah, at your presence. Then Allah will say, Ya Adam, take out from your offsprings those who are destined for the hellfire. Adam alayhi salam doesn't know, right? But this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of doing this. Adam alayhi salam will say, Ya Allah, how many should I take out? Now comes the serious part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's response is 99 out of every 100. For where? Take out for where? For Jahannam. What does that tell us? That the majority of humanity, of Bani Adam, have not fulfilled the rights of being a Bani Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, we have honored the children of Adam. They did not fulfill the rights of Allah. They did not obey. 99% of humanity is going in Jahannam. Now many times, we feel comfortable being with the who? Majority, right? Everybody is doing, right? Isn't that what we do? Everybody is doing this. You know, you tell somebody don't do this. Oh, everybody is doing it. We feel comfortable because it's a majority. Oh, everybody does this. Well, what is this ayah this telling us? This hadith. That the majority is going for into Jahannam. Do you want to be in the majority or do you want to be in the minority? Do you want to be the black hair over the whole ox or that one or two white hair? So this should tell us that you have to stand out differently from the majority. You have to be different from the majority. And the difference is not just in how you look. It's in your belief, in your ibadat, in your akhlaq, in your ma'amlat, how you deal with people, your character and all of that. You have to, standing out is not because of wealth. You know, this is a bit today in the materialist, because that's what materialistic world is being promoted. That, you know, who do you look up to? The one who, the billionaires, not even billionaires, not good enough, the super billionaires. You know. Okay? Super billionaires. One poor billionaire right now is 7 or 9 empire building lengths under the water. May Allah have mercy on them. Can the billions help him in one bit? You know what I'm talking about, right? The submersible that's underwater. Then we have two of our brothers in there too. Every everybody will be asked. So, what this tells us is we should be proud to be different. And different doesn't mean that I color half my hair green and half purple. Different in my akhlaq. Okay? People are looking to be recognized. That's why they do funky things, you know. Shave half the head. Pierce here, pierce here, pierce here, pierce here, pierce here, pierce here. Everything pierced in the body. Holes in the ear like this. Ugly. Changing the nature of what Allah created to look different. Allah wants us to be different with our akhlaq to be the best of people. Taqwa. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you think this is difficult? This is another ayah about this, to resurrect, to bring you back. إِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَاحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. All it will take is a single blast, single shout. صَاح, صَيْحَة. Does this صَيْحَة a separate sound, or is it the blowing of the trumpet? This is where that issue comes in. Are there three blowing of the two? Because some have interpreted the صَيْحَة as an extra one, makes it three. Others have said that the blowing of the trumpet, the majority have said, is only two. This is a separate thing that Allah has mentioned, a loud sound. He said, all it will take is a loud sound, wahida, once. فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. And they will be brought right up in front of us. At that point, essentially, time and space have ceased to exist as we know it. Okay. Now there is no more time. Okay. Because how do we estimate time by? Rotation of the earth and the solar system, right? Tell us day and night. And the moon that tells us months and the years. If these systems, these are not working, they are not in orbit anymore, where is the time? As we know it. And even now, in this existence, a year and a day in some planets and somewhere is equal to years of what is on Earth. So time is all relative. Now that time will be stopped. Space is gone because space is what was created. Everything is destroyed. Sun and moon join together. The stars fall apart. So now there is a whole gathering that will happen just like that. Many, many ayats in the Quran, Allah, Surah Naziat, Surah Safa, Surah Nahl, Surah Isra. فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاحِرَةِ إِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ فَإِذَا هُمْ يَنظُرُونَ. Single cry, a single sound, and they will see everything. A twinkling of an eye, it will all happen. One command from Allah. And all it takes is, how is the command given? By Allah, kun, be. It is established. The last ayah about this, فَالْيَوْمَ لَا يُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. On that day, this day, فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. No injustice will be done to anyone. Now that makes us feel good, right? No injustice. Everything will be righted. But it also makes us scared, as we said before. Because if we have done zulm, Allah will make that justice. Wala tujzona, and you will not be given as a recompense or compensation, إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, except what you used to do. If you've done something bad, expect Allah's justice. If you've done something good, expect Allah's reward. No injustice will be done. And as Imam Shafi used to say, that what scared him most was that Allah does not forget anything. So it's not like I did something, it's forgotten. Allah does not forget anything. Everything is recorded. We've been through that. And every recording will be hanging with you, you know, in your neck. This is what it is. read, see if you can deny anything. You want confirmation? That those ayats are also coming if you deny what's going to happen. So, every single virtue, everything good deed we did, you know, one smile, one helping hand, $1 in charity, whatever you did will not be overlooked, neither will the punishment be given more than what the crime is, nor less than the crime. What is the right amount? Okay. Here, you do a relatively small thing, you could get 10 years in prison. It's not proportionate, depending on your skin color sometimes, right? Over there, everything just, because Allah is al-adl, okay? And you already know, so it's not like right information didn't come. He's al-alim, he's al-basir, he's al-hakim. So, absolute justice, that's why there is a day of absolute justice, which is the day of judgment. Do you know what's the first thing of human rights that will be questioned on the Day of Judgment for people? Blood. If anybody shed blood. Because today it has become, killing is rampant, right? Every day. Including, sometimes unfortunately, Muslims killing Muslims. Which is the greatest of crime, to kill a believer. Okay? The first thing Allah will ask, question is, if you have shed blood. And then everything else will happen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, this is from Bukhari, whoever has wronged his brother or sister should ask for his pardon before his death. As in the hereafter, there will be neither dinar nor dirham, and he should secure pardon and forgiveness before some of his good deeds are taken and paid to his brother, or he has no good deeds, then some of the bad deeds of his brother are taken and loaded onto him. You know, like that bankrupt person. So we need to fix our affairs. So let us, while we are here, in this is a special time of the year, the greatest of days that we have in the whole year, are these days. We are in the third day of that, Dhul Hijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves good deeds in these days more than any other time of the year, including Ramadan. Okay? So, one good deed would be, you say, Ya Allah, for your pleasure, I forgive any injustice that anybody sitting in this room has done to me. Wallahi al-Azim, I do that. And I hope all of you can do that and say that. Forgive each other. Anything that you did that you feel that wasn't right. That way then Allah will also forgive us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that the believers, after being saved from the hellfire, will be stopped at a bridge between paradise and hell. And mutual retaliation will be established among them regarding the wrongs they have committed in the world against each other. See? So last thing, I mean, you think you've one step. Now I'm almost at Jannah, but now this accounting will take place if you wronged anybody. That will take place. After they are cleansed and purified through the retaliation, they will be admitted into Jannah. And he said, by him in whose hand is Muhammad's soul, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, every one of them will know his dwelling in paradise better than he knew his dwelling in this world. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, when you enter your paradise, it will look familiar to you. Better than when you're returning home from work. You know, this is my house. Oh, this is my paradise. This is my Jannah. Everyone, and we have no idea what that Jannah is going to be like. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about an ayah in Surah Inshiqaq, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسِبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. The meaning of this is, soon will be an account will be taken with an easy reckoning, easy hisab. So she asked about this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that what this means is that the account will just be presented. Allah will not question. Allah asks question, that means you are done. Why did you do this? Did you do this? One is the account, you know, like the book is brought here, Allah says, okay, go ahead. The book is not even opened because there are things in it. So that is hisaban yasira. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many times in his sajda, he used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka hisaban yasira. Wallah, I ask of you easy accounting. Easy accounting means no accounting. Don't open the book and see. And who is asking? The best of creation, to teach us that that's what we should be looking for. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there will be none among you, means among the believers, but will be talked to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah without there being an interpreter or an intermediary between him and Allah. Each one of us will stand in front of Allah. Nobody else around. Everybody's out there, here. Just imagine that. What kind of anxiety that will generate. In front of Allah, what am I bringing? The more bad deeds I am bringing, the greater the anxiety. The more disobedience of Allah I am bringing, the greater the anxiety. And inshallah, the more good deeds I am bringing, the more the joy that, you know, Allah is going to reward me. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will look and, the person who's brought will look and see nothing ahead of him. And then he will look in front of him and he will see the hellfire. Where's the Jannah? You don't know what's going to happen. Then he said, so whoever among you can save himself from the hellfire should do so even by giving one half of a date in charity. In other words, don't consider any amal, any good deed as, you know, don't belittle it. Oh, he just gave half a date. So even half a date, if you can give, do that. In other words, every little thing will count. So don't devalue good deeds. Okay? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his companions and he said, protect yourself from the hellfire. Ittaqun nar. He looked like this as if he was looking at something. He said, ittaqun nar. Protect yourself from the fire. Then he looked as if he's seeing the hellfire. Three times. Ittaqun nar. Then he looked here. He said, ittaqun nar. Protect yourself from the fire. As if he was actually looking at it. And again he said, protect yourself from the fire, even if you give a half a date to one who doesn't have it, or if you don't even have that, then what? A good word. Say something good to them. That's the value of a good word. That's why we teach our children, say salam. Assalamu alaikum. And these days, of these 10 days, La ilaha illallah. That's the best word. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. These are the best words that we should be saying all day, when in our private, in our hearts, in our tongues. La ilaha illallah. Let's take 2 minutes to say together, La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says this kalima, 100 times. Okay? He will be protected from shaitan all day. 100 good deeds are written from, 100 sins are removed, 100 darajat in the akhirah are elevated. Now, we are not in Ramadan. We are supposed to do good deeds these 10 days. But to honor them, we should also not be doing bad deeds. But this is not Ramadan, so there's no protection from shaitan. But this protects you from shaitan. He gave us the formula. Say this 100 times, you will be protected from shaitan from morning till the evening. Okay, then it'll be easier to do good deeds. So we should do these amal. So this is the scene that we have seen in those four ayahs about Qiyamah. And this is not very detailed, just that. And some of the hadith about this are hundreds. You should read them. We don't have time to cover them. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes in the next four ayats to talk about Bashara, good news of Jannah. إن أصحاب الجنة اليوم في شغل فاكهون. Indeed, the dwellers of Jannah that day will be busy in doing things that they enjoy, joyful things. Busy. شغل. What does this mean? That they will be preoccupied in the bounties of Jannah, because when you first see them, you will be overwhelmed with, because there are things that you've never seen, things that you've never imagined, you've never heard of. All we hear about Jannah are things that we relate to, fruits, you know, rivers flowing, you know, beautiful breeze, beautiful trees, beautiful companions, beautiful furniture and this and couches and this and jewelry and all of that we've covered, right? And the clothes and the silks and the brocades and all of that. So, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that to experience those, a person will be busy. And they will never get tired of it. Here, no matter how good something is, it ends. There, it never ends. Okay. Here, no matter what, how good the food is, if you keep eating it, you get tired of it. Over there, that doesn't happen. There is no fatigue. There is no tiredness. There is no boredom. You know, many times people say, what am I going to do in Jannah? I'll get bored. Well, you will not get bored. Okay? Just get there. That's your job. Then see what Allah has prepared. So, Fakihun, some of them have translated this as fruits of Jannah. And others have said this is just unimaginable enjoyment. Okay. Because in Jannah, everything that you see is beautiful. Everything that you will hear will be beautiful. Everything that you feel will be beautiful. Everything that you taste will be beautiful. Everything that you smell will be beautiful. Whether it's the surroundings, whether it's your companionship, whether it's the birds, whether it's the streams, whether it's the trees. And we see beauty. Allah has given us samples of beauty on this earth. You look at, sometimes you look at a flower, the beauty of the flower. This is here. Now imagine what Allah has prepared. Sometimes you have a fruit, your favorite fruit, that you once in a while you find that's really good. Now imagine, and that's by accident. You say, you know, out of 50 mangoes, I found one that was really good. Everything will be of a different unique taste. And the taste will keep increasing. It's not like every bite, the taste becomes even more. And it's not like now I'm full. There is no full. A little burp of zafran and it's all digested. There's no waste. There's no bathroom facilities in Jannah. Okay. Allah has created us in this world with a digestive system that works differently and produces impurities. Over there, that system is completely different. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, that there are things that, everything that is mentioned there, are the only thing common between the fruit of Jannah, the pomegranate of Jannah and of here, is just a name. Okay? The grapes of Jannah, it's just a name. Everything is different. Okay? The trees are different. The rivers are different. Okay, we hear all of those things. And we will be different, and our companions. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who is going to enjoy this? Hum, they. Wa azwajuhum. And their spouses, their wives. Fi dhilalin ala al-ara'iki muttaki'un. They'll be reclining. Reclining, and we've had many descriptions of the kinds of furniture that Allah has put on there. It's not going to come from IKEA, okay? It's not going to be breaking down or anything like this. This is something special, okay? And the carpets and the pillows and the cushions and how you're going to be sitting. So, the believer and his wife, or believing woman and her husband, will be there in shades. Now, how are these shades created? What is creating the shades? Here we have shades of trees, we have shades of roofs, we have shades of clouds. How Allah has created shades there? What kind of shades there? We don't know. The word is shade. Dhilal. Okay. In other words, you will not feel heat, you will not feel cold. Everything perfect. Experience it. Halal araik. You know, reclining on these thrones, these elevated seating places, however Allah has created them. Okay, so you want to spend quality time with your zawj, your spouse, that's the time it's going to be. You can spend, and it's going to be eternal, and you're not going to get bored after a while. So now let's go out and do something, because the scene keeps changing. The scenes keep changing. Now you're sitting there, you want something to eat. It's not going to be, my dear wife, can you go bring me a glass of water or bring me something? No. You think and it will be brought. Either the tree, you think of, oh, I love that fruit. The tree will bring it. The branch will come to you. Or Allah has created creatures to serve you. He will bring it and serve you. And Allah has mentioned what kind of trays they bring, what kind of, you know, cups and what kind of plates and what kind of, how they will, they are there to serve you. Muttakyaun, reclining, relax. Now this is the time for relaxation. Dunya is time for work. I'm not talking about 9-to-5 work, working for the akhirah. That's the real thing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَىٰ سُرُرٍ مَعْدُونَ مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَيْهَا مُتَقَابِلِينَ Surah Waqia, we covered this, that they will be on thrones woven with gold and precious stones. You know, like you see in Topkapi Palace, you know, this is what the final, you know, Khalifas used to sit on, you know, the sultans. But that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for them there are fruits of every kind. فَاكِهَةٌ, unspecified, unlimited. The fruits over there don't rot. They don't have seeds. Okay. And they don't just have to come from here and then grow. And they are not, there is no seasons for them. You wish and they are there. Okay. وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ And for them is مَا يَدَّعُونَ Whatever they ask. So one person says, Ya Rasulullah, will there be farming in Jannah? He wants to farm in Jannah. He said, yes. He said, but the farming there is not going to be like the farming here in Medina, where you have to dig the ground, and then you have to water it, and then it have to wait for a season. You put the thing, it will come right out. So one of the Muhajirun said, Ya Rasulullah, he's an Ansari, they love farming. We have nothing to do, we don't work gardens. So whatever you want. Sometimes Shaitan puts this in our sister's mind, oh, they men have hurain. What is there for women? Ma yadda'un. Anything you want. of course, everything will be pure. There's no impurities. Okay, the thoughts will be pure, the desires will be, everything will be pure. Allah says in Surah Zukhruf, the translation in the interest of time, enter paradise, you and your wives in happiness. Trays of gold and cups will be passed around them. Therein they will dwell. One's inner self, whatever their inner selves desire, all that the eyes could delight in, and you will abide therein forever. Anything and everything, and the best part of it is, it doesn't end. And then comes the ultimate. You're enjoying all of this? In the ayah number 58, Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. Imagine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from their min Rabbihim, from their Lord. Salam. Allah is saying salam to His ibad. It's a declaration. So when we say salam to each other, it should remind us that maybe one day we will hear salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Imagine what that would be. What would it be like? We can't even imagine. What would it sound like? And salam is not just a word. It says qawlam min Rabbi. It's a word from Allah. But what does that word mean, that qawl? What does the word kun mean? Be. Salam means peace, freedom, joy, happiness, safety forever for you now. That is the salam. It's not just Allah saying salam. Like today, we say salam and then we backbite after a while. No. Allah says salam. Everything is eternally beautiful, peaceful. No fear, no concern, no anxiety, nothing ever. Salam. From who? As-salam. Allah's name is As-salam. For who? The one who? Aslama. Who submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Became a Muslim. And it's not that difficult. There's a hadith that I remember now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask a person who's going to Jahannam, if you could have the whole world in gold, would you be willing to ransom it to save yourself from Jahannam? He said, yeah, Allah, yes, I would. The whole world in gold I would give to save me from Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and I asked you for much less. I didn't ask you for the world in gold. I said, just submit to me. Believe in me. That's all I asked. Just for that, this is what's prepared. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. It's all a matter of yaqeen. Once that yaqeen comes, we would submit. We don't have doubts. You know, I'm going to do this. Allah says this. I'm going to disobey. I'll do what I like, what I don't like. We are Muslim. Muslim means submission. No, samana wa atana. Allah says, don't be samana wa asana. We hear and we disobey. We obey what we like, we disobey and what we don't like. Submit. Why? Because Allah, I want to hear salam from Allah in Jannah. If we could sacrifice everything. Let's take the example. Do you think that billionaire today would be willing, if somebody came, the angel said, would you give all your billions and I'll get you to the top of the water? Would he give it? Yes, he would. Same thing. If the whole world was in gold, save from the Jahannam, Allah said, I asked you for much less. Allahu Akbar. So this salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, sums up the attainment of that final goal, that Allah is pleased with us, and peace, harmony, mercy, all of that is within that directly. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the people of paradise, O people of paradise, they will say, Labbaik ya Rabbi, Sadaik. He will say, are you pleased? And like a host, when you host something, have some more, you know, did you like the food? Allah will say, did you like what I prepared for you? Can you imagine? Do you like what I prepared for you? Do you like your Jannah? Of course, they will say, Ya Allah, how could we not be pleased? Allah is asking, are you pleased? He's asking, are you pleased? Who are we? That Allah can even should even ask from us speck of dust. That Allah honors us by saying, are you pleased? And they will say, why should we not be pleased? Since you have given us what you have not given to anyone of your creation. The angels weren't given this, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, and I will give you something better than that, what you have been given. Ya Allah, what is better than this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, I will bestow my rida, my good pleasure and contentment upon you, and I will never be angry with you after this forever. Forever. What does forever mean? We have no idea. Because everything we know is finite, it ends. Eternal, eternal. How can we sacrifice eternity for this finite thing? You know, every act of disobedience here is impacting our eternal home negatively. Every act, every word, every act of disobedience. Allah said, do this, I don't do this. Forever, forever, forever. Youth doesn't last forever. I was young like you. Beauty doesn't last forever. But in Jannah, now what happens in dunya? Beauty goes which way? This way, right? Goes south. In Jannah, every day you will look at your spouse, or every moment they become more beautiful. How is that possible? The one who created beauty makes it possible. So it is dynamic, it keeps changing. It's not like every morning you wake up, the same person sitting there. And that person has to go and wash up and then put some, you know, adornments. Naturally, naturally. People will go to the Jummah market. There's a Jummah market in Jannah. When they come back, their wives, what happened to you? You become, I didn't think you could become even more beautiful, but you did. I did. So Jannah is dynamic. So all of those ayats, first of all, should give us the shauq, the desire to aspire to do things for Jannah. Now comes the other side of the coin. وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ The command will come, O you criminals, mujrimoon. Wamtazul, on this day, separate yourselves. You cannot, in the dunya you mixed, righteous, good people, bad people, all people, believers, disbelievers, all together, you know, riding the same bus, in the same place, eating in the same restaurant, one is eating here, one. Separate yourself. Today is the day of separation. Wamtazul yom, this itself. Now imagine somebody who's, the angel says, get out of here, you don't belong here. What that person is going to feel? Because they know what that means, what's coming ahead. I thought Day of Judgment was bad. But what's coming ahead, that's going to make it look like a picnic. And the person on the Day of Judgment, for them, the Azab al-Qabr will look like a picnic. You know. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, separate yourselves today, O you criminals. Imam Abu Hanifa, who all of you know, Rahmatullah Alayh, once spent the entire night repeating this verse in his Nafil Salah. All night Nafil Salah, just repeating one, this verse. وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُ What is he thinking? What's he thinking? He's thinking, I am a mujrim. He is thinking, I am a mujrim, and Allah will announce this, what will happen to me? Separate yourself. Imagine for normal people like us. But that was the nature of the people because they understood who they are dealing with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they didn't count on their good deeds. Though I am one of the four great imams and I am this faqih and I am this hafiz and I am this. What Allah has given me of His blessings, it's all His. I have nothing. I am a criminal. Allah have mercy on me. This is all it was. So this verse refers to the state of the sinners in that state of isolation because, you know, here we have sometimes, you have a support structure. On the Day of Judgment, there is no support structure. No wife, no child, no father. You know, child cannot run to the father. You know, papa, baba, help. There's nothing. Many ayats of the Quran say the same thing. Allah says, we will gather you together, and then they will say, stop, you and your partners, and you will separate them. Because sometimes some people would like to, sort of, you know, believers are going, let me sneak in here. Of course, they will be taken out. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمْ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانَ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, did I not take a covenant, an agreement from you, O Bani Adam? Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in a nice way that Bani Adam, you are the children of Adam, who I made with my own hand, who I breathed ruh into. And I karamna banya, and I honored you. I made the angels do sajda of honor to you. You are from him. Then how did you become what you are? Ya bani Adam, did I not tell you? And la ta'abudu shaitan. Don't worship shaitan. Now you might say, we don't worship shaitan. Satan worshippers are such a small number. What does it mean? La ta'budu shaitan. What does it mean? Allah ordered you to do something. Shaitan ordered you to do something. When you obey shaitan instead of obeying Allah, you have worshipped shaitan. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they worship their rabbis. Why? Allah said to do something. Rabbi said to do something else. They do what the rabbi. Allah said, you worshipped your rabbi. So who you obey is like you have worshipped them. It's equivalent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is also little sadness in this. Allah said, Ya Bani Adam, I told you, I honored you, and I warned you to stay away from shaitan. Don't let him deceive you. Innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. And I told you indeed, he is your avowed enemy. He is going to take you, you know, astray. He's going to take you to Jahannam. And I told you the story of your father, Adam alayhi salam. And I forgave him because as soon as he sinned, as soon as he was deceived by Iblis, he turned around and said, Rabbana zulamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. He turned around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired those words and Allah forgave him. And our mother Hawa alayhi salam. So then what is the excuse for the? That was only one disobedience. How many disobedience of Allah we have every day? Shaitan comes to us in different ways, knowing our weaknesses. And this is the day that we have been warned over and over and over again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. There are many hadith, we don't have time, about how shaitan comes when you are sleeping at night. You've heard the hadith about the three knots and, you know, people who don't wake up for Fajr, you know, that Iblis comes during your sleep and he literally ties three knots in the back of the head of each of you. In the unseen world, you can open and say, oh, my head is not knotted, you know, or I'll shave my head, there'll be no hair to knot. This is in the spiritual. What does it mean? Those knots hold you back. Okay? He says, then he puts in the mind The night is long, so keep on sleeping. You're tired, get some rest. You know, he's giving you nasiha. You know, you had a long day, get some rest. What does he want you to sleep till? He wants you to sleep till the sun rises. Everybody be your own judge. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if that person wakes up, and wakes up, says, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, does, glorifies Allah, praises Allah, then one knot is undone. Means now he can move. Then he gets up and performs wudu, the second knot is undone, and when he prays, all the knots are undone, and he gets up in the morning lively and happy, otherwise he gets up dull and gloomy. I don't know if some of you have experienced this once in a while. If you ever miss Fajr, the day doesn't go as well as it does. It doesn't, you don't feel right. And for Fajr, even though you haven't slept, you get up, things go well. Because that's the barakah of Salah. Now, there's a lot of hadith about this, but I'm going to go to ayah number 61. أَنَعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. It will be said to them, Allah says, worship me. This is what is being told to the people of Jahannam. Allah said that we said, worship me without associating any partner with me. This is the straight path. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us the messengers who went through all the hardships to teach us the straight path. Worship Allah. Forget about shaitan. All of this, you're commanded only to obey Allah, not to obey Iblis. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him one day, he said, Ya Mu'adh, do you know what is Allah's right upon his slaves? Mu'adh said, I said, Allah and his Rasul know best. He says, Allah's right upon his slave is to be worshipped without any partners. Worship him alone. Then he said, Ya Mu'adh, do you know what is the right of the slave upon Allah? Do we have any rights on Allah? He asked. He said, Allah and his messenger know best. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the right of the servant on Allah is that Allah would not punish him if he worshipped him without associating any partners. That's your, becomes your right with Allah. A right given by Allah. That you worship me without partners, I will not put you in. وَلَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ. And this again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and indeed, أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ, many among you, shaitan led dalal, into, led astray. How many? جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا, many multitudes. 99 out of 100, as you said before. That Iblis led astray. أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you not understand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm giving you clear directive. You still don't get it. Then, if you didn't get it, هَذِهِ جَهَنَّمُ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. This. Now when هَذِهِ, the word هَذِهِ means something that's near. Okay? That means you're so near, Allah said, this is Jahannam, which you were promised. Then we've talked about how that Jahannam fire will be coming, held by the angels, holding, because it wants to consume all the disbelievers. إِسْلَوْهَا الْيَوْمَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. So roast, burn this day for what you used to disbelieve. You disbelieved in the fire, now taste the fire and see if it's real. You should disbelieve in the day of judgment and the fire and the punishment of Allah. There's no life after death. This is it. Now decide for yourself, it's real or this is stories of the ancient made up stories. Taste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is Islawha al-yawma bima kuntum takfurun. Burn therein this day on account of what you used to disbelieve. And then the worst part of all of this is, in this hadith, Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that while all of this is going on the day of resurrection, a special ram, an animal in a special form, will be brought. And it will be in the shape of a black and a white ram, sort of. And an angel will call, a caller will say, "Oh, people of paradise," and they will look at this thing and look carefully, and the caller will say, "Do you know what this is?" What will they say? What is this? Anybody know?
Death.
Maut. Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. Yes, this is death. By then all of them would have seen it. Then it will be announced to the people of hell. Look at this, and they will look. You see it? Do you know what this is? This is death. And then guess what will happen? That creature will be slaughtered. Means death is dead. Finished. What does that mean? There is no more death. So for the believers who are looking, death is finished. Joy. Eternal. We are going to be eternal. Now for the people going in Jahannam, that's the worst news. Because in the dunya, when you suffer, you look for relief in death. You know, and suffering is over. But when you see death is finished, there's no more death. That means Jahannam is also eternal. And the angel will say, "Yes, this is death." Then the ram will be slaughtered, and the caller will say, "O people of paradise, eternity for you and no death forever. And O people of hell, eternity for you and no death." Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited the ayah, وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ إِذْ قُدِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ وَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, which means, "And warn them, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the day of grief and regrets," because that will be a day of grief and regrets, "when the case has been decided, while now they are in a state of ghafla, of carelessness, and they don't believe that this is going to happen." Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim wa tukallimuna aydihim. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, which means that on that day, نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِمْ, Allah SWT will seal their mouths. Can't speak. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيَهُمْ, their hands will speak to us. Allah says, their hands will speak to us. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ, and their feet will bear witness as to where they went. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, of what they used to earn. Why would this happen? Because the people going to Jahannam, when they see their records and their bad deeds, will say, "Ya Allah, there were no witnesses. The angels witnessed this. The angels wrote it down wrong. I deny that I did this." On that day, they will say anything to protect themselves. So the earth is a witness. I don't know. There's angels, maybe he wrote it down. Maybe they'll mistake an identity. This, that, and the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay. Allah already knows. Mouth is closed. Now, parts of your body, because there are many places. Hands are mentioned here, feet are mentioned here. Skin is mentioned elsewhere. The eyes, ears, every part of the body will bear witness against the person himself. Ya Allah, hand will say, "I did this." He is denying this. For example, if it's a murderer, he said, "Ya Allah, I didn't commit it. Somebody else did it. The angels wrote it wrong. Yes, Ya Allah, he made me kill this person." The hand will speak. How can the hand speak? The hand is made of bones and muscles. The tongue is made of muscles. Allah has given the tongue the power to speak. The one who gave the tongue the power to speak. And the throat, which is made of cartilages and all of those muscles to form sound. Allah will give the hand the power to speak. In the skin, the thigh will speak, the foot will speak. Every part of the body. The eyes, if you say, I didn't look at this, Allah, eyes will speak. If you say, I didn't hear this, ears will speak. So, everything will be made to speak, because then the person will have nothing. In fact, the statement of the person against his part of the body is also in the hadith. He said, so that person will say to his part, what's wrong with you? I did everything for you. And the parts will say, because of you and your actions, we are going to Jahannam. So, this is the end of the people where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, next two more ayahs or three, then we'll finish. وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِهِمْ فَاسْتَبِقُوا الصِّرَاطَ فَأَنَّا يُبْصِرُونَ. And if it had been our will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we could have wiped out their vision, we could have made them blind. Then how would they struggle to find that path? Allah has given us vision to recognize the signs, to do this. How would they then see? In other words, Allah is saying, all the favors I have given you, you still don't see the truth. All the signs are there, you don't see the truth. Allah says, I could have limited, taken out all of this from you, and then you would have, I made things easy for you. وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَمَسَخْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ مَكَانَتِهِمْ فَمَا اسْتَطَاعُوا مُدِيًّا وَلَا يَرْجَعُونَ. And Allah says, and if we wanted, we could have transformed them into different animals for their deeds, like He did into pigs and monkeys. You know, nations were transformed. And there is a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, some of my ummah will be transformed into monkeys and pigs, who did what the Bani Israel had done. The people of the Sabt. Yeah. Allah says, we could have made them right where they are, I could have changed them into this. فَمَسْتَطَاعُوا مُدِيًّا وَلَا يَرْجِعُونَ. And then they would not have been unable to move forward, nor could they have moved back. Right there and then, they stuck as monkeys and monkeys. So this is the hadith that we are talking about. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, from among my followers there will be some people who will consider. Okay, this, remember this, because we are living in these times, it's important. Illegal sexual intercourse outside of marriage, nikah, okay, wearing of silk by men, drinking of alcoholic drinks, and the use of musical instrument as lawful. They consider it halal from my ummah. And from them there will be some who will stay near the side of a mountain, and in the evening their shepherds will come to them with their sheep and ask them for something. They will say, return to us tomorrow. This is to do with the wealthy people who are not giving the rights of the shepherd the wages. Allah will destroy them during the night and will let the mountain fall on them, and He will transform the rest of them into monkeys and pigs, and they will remain so till the day of resurrection. From Bukhari. Again, telling us that the universal, what is haram remains haram no matter what society we live in. He said, well, everybody is doing it. Everybody is drinking, everybody is partying, everybody is doing this. Our values stay the same. This is a special reminder for our youth, because youth tend to experiment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. And whoever we grant a long life to, we cause him to reverse in creation. You know, just like kids are growing, then Allah gives a long life, He says we make them reverse in creation. The height becomes shorter. Strength becomes weakness. Okay? Vision is not as good. Hearing is gone. We have hearing aids. Now I can't walk, I need a cane. Now somebody needs to help me, like you help a baby to walk. Then I lose control of my bladder and bowel, diapers. Same thing, we reverse you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, reminding us, أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Don't you use your understanding? Don't you understand that this life is not eternal? You are going to die. This is going to happen. So don't think you're going to be here forever. Use your time wisely to make your akhirah. So I think I'm going to end with that, because the next, from ayah number 69, the next sort of sequence of things starts till the end, and we will try and cover that in the next time. So again, in summary, these ayats are to, for us, to drive into our hearts that sense of certainty, yaqeen, that Allah will raise us. We are going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything of ours will be there, recorded. If we have wronged anyone, that judgment will take place. There is a day of absolute justice. We need to clear our accounts before we go there. Don't discount any good deeds. Do whatever you can. Every little thing. Don't. And use your time. Time is the ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just that sometime, you know, 5 minutes I'll do this. As much of that you can spend in gaining your akhirah. The time for work is here. The time for enjoyment is in the akhirah. The time for rest is in the qabr. Work here so you can rest in the qabr and enjoy the party is in the akhirah, in Jannah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who listen and obey, who take this to heart, and who have yaqeen in it and work towards that yaqeen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Question, comments, we can...